Accession number 31427, Mr. Albert Clark, Reel 8. Now, did you get given any special uniform to help counter this cold?
When we first went there, we landed in our own battle dress, our own army boots, just the army lot we'd come back from Crowborough. But as time went on, the American or the winter gear arrived. I think it was all American gear. We got stood out in a freezing cold, and we had to take trousers off and put these trousers on, combat trousers, and then take the top off, and we got string vests. They started off about as long as that, but after you washed them through, they went about 2 or 3 foot long. String vests, they got to be put on first, and then over that you put your army, khaki army shirt, and over the top of that we've got what you call a combat smock. That was a really like the first coat, gabardine coat with various pockets in it and whatnot. And then all during the day, or when it's cold, we've got a, what you call a parka. The parka coat had a hood with a green fur around it like that, and a wire. There's a wire. You used to bend it around and look like that, you know.
Your eyes.
Yeah, cold.
Just peeking out.
Yeah, and khaki camouflage scarf. And very, when you put it around there like that, round over your mouth, and you was on stag then at night, you know, you had to walk in the perimeter. And when you come out, your breath used to be frozen. When you pulled it off, all you hurt your skin here as you pulled it off.
Round
here, used to freeze. That's how cold it, you know, really cold.
Yeah. Now, so what was a typical day like when you first got to Pintail Bridge?
Yeah.
When you first got there, they've gone in the line.
Yeah.
You're at A echelon. How does your day start?
Right. Get up. Well, obviously get up. Whatever breakfast we had, you know.
What about washing and shaving? I mean, were you expected to? Was there any way you could?
Yes. You was expected to be clean, like, you know.
So how do you manage to wash and shave when it's that cold?
Right. You used to get water and get, like, a petrol fire. Burn everything, the petrol that they burn up, you know. And heat the water, like, in a... sometimes it was a cut off 45 gallon drum with a certain amount of water in, and used to scoop a drop of hot water out like that. Or invariably had a biscuit tin, about like that, and used
normal
to
share biscuit
tin of water. And about 3 of us used to share that, you know. I'm first, 2's up with a biscuit tin, 3's up, and I'll tell you what. That's what we used to have, just a little sloosh and that, you know, and that's it.
So you got up and washed. And shaved.
Yeah,
and best you could.
Yeah, best you could.
And then breakfast. Now, what was the food you got when you first got out there?
Food that we first got out there.
Was it American or was it British?
No. What we got was, when we was on, like, sort of moving around, C7s, combat ration.
Now, what are they?
See, it's a square C7 for...
It's compo rations, isn't it?
Yeah. What it is a square box with about 6 or 8 tins inside that box. And you had corned beef hash, ham and lima beans, meat noodles. We had spaghetti and some other stuff. Then you used to have a square... paper bag, waterproof obviously, in there it used to have a Hershey bar, a chocolate bar, toilet paper for the use of 2 or 3 chewing gums, throwaway razor.
Hershey bar and chewing gum sounds like American. That was C7s American then? American
rations. Well, evidently, yeah. That's what we got. Evidently, yeah. C7. But...
And what do you think of these rations?
They... just about sort of kept us alive, if you know what I mean.
Did you cook them yourself, or would the cooks cook it for you?
No, you had to cook them yourself.
And how would you cook them?
You've got them like a little round stove thing with a white tablet in it.
A sort of Tommy cooker.
Tommy cooker thing, and they heat that up like that. That's basically what it is. But in the then when you're settled like in the echelon, you know, you used to have the MT or company cook, you know, and all his assistants, you know, like they used to have these long filled kitchen things, you know, open it up like that with all these here hay boxes on and frying pans and whatnot, and they used to have the flamethrower, pump it up, used to roar like anything, you know, and it'd be really effective, like, you know. And that's, and then you could go down there and get egg. Bacon was what they used to dish up, was, pardon me, was all stringy, fatty, and it had all plastic, like cellophane paper, all mixed into it, you know what I mean? And you used to have to pick it out like that, you know? But the cooks used to put all that out like that. Potatoes, I think I've experienced potatoes, but they was tinned. Tin cabbage, everything was tin. For a treat, I think they used to get tin sort of peaches and, you know, tin fruit. No fresh fruit or anything like that. But when it was getting on by that year, getting on, the filled bakery was, you know, the RAOC, RA Ordnance, the RAOC, I think it was. They used to have the bakery, mobile bakery. Very, very good. We used to have good there. And then the cooks, we used to go back to B echelon rear. That's a back's a bit more back. But we used to get big cardboard boxes like that, all grease proof, and they was full of meat, you know, be it lumps of beef or I call it steak, you know what I mean, but it was meat, you know what I mean. Never seen no chicken or anything like that, but eggs, yes, we used to get eggs, because I remember sometimes coming back late, I used to have one bit of bread, one fried egg, and that was my lot, because they was all finished, you know.
Now tell me about your duties then. I mean, so we're going through a typical day. You've had your food, breakfast. Now what then?
Right, then I get detailed off by your wagon, and the old MT sergeant just come round and said, "Have you checked your vehicle?" Yes, sergeant.
What was your vehicle there? Was
mine was the Bedford.
Which one?
The 1500 weight. Bedford.
How did it manage in the conditions?
Oh, I tell you what, that used to know its when the Royal Ulster Rifle boy had it. That used to know its way up to the front line, because you know it'd been there so long. It was ancient. I'll tell you a story about that. It had to be BLR'd, beyond local repair, when I had it, you know, after a while. But having said that, that's the first vehicle I took off of the Royal Ulster Rifle boy, you know. It never had no oil in the gearbox. I used to be going out with these officers and driving along and look down, and there used to be smoke coming out of the gear stick like that. And so one day it's going to pack up. But you know what? Bedford's, it went on and went on and went on. With no, as little as much oil. And the MC, I'm reminiscing there, the MC sergeant said, "Clark, have you oiled your gearbox yet this morning?" Because you know I used to have to take the gear lever out. You know, I took it out from the top. That's where I learnt when I was a young boy. Then tip the oil in the top and let it all go in and put it back on. Put the cap on, you know, the bolt. Like, you know.
So this Bedford carried on going then?
Oh, yeah.
You're pleased with it then?
Well, it had to be because it was under me, like, you know. But anyway, that, yeah.
Now, what was it? So, what we, you've got your bed. So, what's your duties? You know, you wake up that morning.
I reported to Colour Sergeant Clark. He always seemed to get, like, sort of asked for me. I don't know why, but he said, Colour Sergeant Clark, report to Colour Sergeant Clark, from the same name as myself. He was a Second World War old boy, you know, real old stager, you know. And when I was going when I was driving along, he used to say, Centurion tanks, you know, coming up, anything northbound, got priority, you know what I mean? And he used to say, pull off, pull off, pull off like that, let them go by, let them go by. And the tanks used to, you know, two or three used to go by like that. But there again, I don't know why, I just, not clever or big head, but I never pulled too far off because of the mines, you know, the Chinese box mines. You could go over them 100 times and 101 times you go over and then whoop, ups you go. Which they use now in Iraq, I reckon, now, you know, same idea. Roadside bombs, you know what I mean?
And they're called box mines, are they?
Yeah, we was told a wooden, a box mine, yeah.
And so you took precautions, you drove
I, when he said pull off, I used to pick where there was plenty of wheel marks, you know what I mean? Not being clever, but I was...
Now, what were you doing with Colour Sergeant Clark?
Yeah.
What's your job? What are you doing?
I then went with Colour Sergeant Clark, picked him up. I'm in Echelon, don't forget. And then I had to go back to B Echelon, right? Because we had a B Echelon and a B Echelon rear. But I went back to B Echelon. And then he would say, right, get the stores, so-and-so, so-and-so,
now
you
what
know.
Stores? Food or ammunition?
Food. About the
now,
only.
How far back would you have to drive to get to B Echelon?
Well, B Echelon, I should say, is about. Oh, the way the roads went out there, you know, you had to go out Will's Mother's lot, sort of a long way out there to come back on yourself. Could be 8 or 10 miles, I suppose. You know, in.
So that would take you a fair while.
Fair while to go back, you know.
To go all the way back.
Go all the way back. Yeah.
What were the road conditions?
Whoa.
I mean, is it a road or
no,
a track?
Tracks. Oh yeah, no, all tracks. Tracks. They didn't start getting really good road or tracks again, you know, roads, shell, until well towards the time.
So what
that
state
I,
were the tracks in? Do you know what I mean? How rutted, how many
very,
things
are very, very rutted. And they used to go round sharp corners because it was a hill like that, go round like that, and it'd be up there 500 or 600 feet high, but you've got about 150-foot drop down there. And if you were in the, you'd be in the shit if you got one wheel over the side, you know.
So if you tipped over, you'd be killed.
Oh yeah, well that's it. I've seen trucks in there, you know, loaded up with gear, actually. Gone hurdy-gurdy, gone down the bottom, you know.
So you have to be extremely careful.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You just, you know.
And how deep were the ruts? I mean, would you get bogged down in it, or was it...
Yeah.
Or was it frozen?
No, I've been bogged down. I've gone in a ditch, and a coloured American has never said nothing. Come up, put his GMC up front, because I've got a winch on the front, and then a boy's winch on the front, and pulled me up there like that. I said, thanks, fella, thanks. Ah, oh, you're all right, fella, all right. You know, good. I got on with the Americans, good.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
you drive back to the B Echelon about 8 or 9 miles away.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
You pick up the store.
Yeah.
And that would be just boxes, would it?
Yeah.
Would you load the van or would the company sergeant, the colour sergeant help you?
No,
or?
You just say, pick that up. And, yeah, I'd load it, or he'd sort of chuck something on the back, you know, like that. And I can remember one time we picked up a 4.5 gallon jerry can, and it was full of sake, you know, for the gooks, because we have South Korean. You mustn't call them gooks, but we knew them as
you say it as it was then.
Yeah, gooks. Yeah, but we had a lot of American slang in that.
I'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Now, so you'd pick up this stuff and then you'd bring it back. Was it just food or anything else? Food and...
Yeah, just that particular time when we go there, just food.
Now, where would you take it back to?
Straight, no. You go straight one part, you know, like wherever it was, a rendezvous, up on a hill. I know one place.
Did you go right to the front line?
Right to the front, in the shelling area, yeah. My truck got hit in the shelling area, we had shrapnel for it. Jeep Head was one name of the area, Jeep Head, right? I went to Jeep Head, and we had a squad or front line trenches there, just on the hill, you know what I mean? Going on from there, that wasn't very far from where Bill Speakman won his VC. We was just on the next valley.
And then
from there, we'd go on with some more of the same rations or split rations, and we'd go round through the alleyway, you know, through the valleys and whatnot, you know. There's no signpost or anything like that, you know. Just go along, and then up, and lo and behold, you come across another area of our boys. Oh, you know, got their slit trenches, and, you know.
What could you see of the front line positions? What were they like? What can you describe them?
The front line positions, right. Right in the, on the forward slopes was just slit trenches, which with the soil packed up like that. But where they used to get their head down as much as possible was on what the reverse slope. You was on the reverse slope, on the side where the chinkies couldn't see them. You know, they was on that side.
And that's where you'd take them to the supplies too?
Yeah, into that area there. Invariably, the boys used to relieve one another. A platoon used to come down, all down these hills, and then have their food or whatever, you know. And they used to go up, and then another chaps had come down, you know. That's on the hills. None of the boys was on the flat area, you know what I mean? It was all, because out there they fought for the highest. The boys that was up highest, you look down on the dominating area, you know. Yeah.
Now, so who would unload you got there with your truck? Well, you'd unload it.
Unload it myself. Give it to the cook sergeant. You know, unload it. And Samashon Valley.
That's the second place they went to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Later on, they went there.
Yes. Yeah.
That's about. I think they went there in March, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you'd unloaded your lorry, what would you do then? Would you have anything to take back to A Echelon, or would you just travel back empty?
Yeah.
So what would you carry back?
I carried my friend, that he lives at Southend, Pete Ollie, I do remember that.
He was wounded, was he?
Yeah.
So you would act as ambulances?
Well, no, all I'd done was carried a load of, they said, take that gear back, you know, it's Pete Ollie's, or take it back. I then learnt later on, you know. I just took it back to an Echelon and handed it in, like, you know what I mean?
And you found it was he dead or...?
No, Pete Ollie was... I've been up London on Tower of London the last time I met up with Peter.
So but he just happened to carry... He'd been wounded.
He didn't know me as such, yeah. But he got... they said he was shot in the head, but his son that was with him at London, he was mortar, you know, he got strafed in out on patrol, right? And he got mortared, obviously, you know. And he got shrapnel in his head. And his son told me, it's too near his brain or in a dodgy place. They won't operate on him.
So
Pete Ollie.
You'd carry this sort of equipment back to AS, right?
Yeah, well, whatever.
Anything else you'd carry back?
No dead personnel.
No. I misunderstood what you were going
to
say.
Yeah, no.
So then you drive back to A Echelon. Anything else you'd have to do in a typical day?
Go back, and I've taken particularly an officer from echelon. And they somehow they used to know the way where to go. He's up here, Clark, and I used to take them up, and they used to meet various people. Like, you know, one particular time it was pouring with rain.
Where would you drive them from to? From A echelon to?
The officers from echelon up to the front somewhere along the, up in the front line, you know, up, you know.
Is this, what kind of, the colonel or who? Just officers.
Second Louis, one pipper. Lieutenant, two.
So they're just people going up the front?
Yeah, the officers, for some unknown reason, you know, or not unknown reason, but they used to carry maps and the books and whatnot, you know.
And you'd take it, you just drive, what, would you use a Jeep for that, or would you use...
No, my 1500.
Still in the
1500. By this time, when it, me, Bedford, 1508, got BLR'd, it was...
Now, tell me, what happened to you, Bedford? Why did it, what broke in the end?
Beyond local repair. Well, it got so bad that we went to a place called Incheon. We, MT drivers, went to Incheon, right away past Seoul. And to the west coast, Incheon. And we went there, and it's a great big depot there with all these vehicles. And I picked up a Morris Commercial, 1500 weight again, Morris Commercial. And it was in, like, sort of good condition, if you know what I mean. Looked as though it just been shipped out from England all... Probably
how long had that taken before that happened? Was that a week or two, a month or two?
I'm
not sure.
No, a month or two. I had that old,
and what
old
did you
girl.
Think of the Morris?
Yeah, she was, good. Four-wheel drive, you know. You know, just the same, same sort of thing.
So done
its job, never packed up on me. The only thing that I did pack up once is the banjo, you know. You've got two... petrol tanks, one there, and it comes in onto one tap, and in there that froze. Now they say old people, well, I used to work with it, petrol don't freeze, that freezes, boy. That froze in the banjo, and there again I used to have I had a spanner, or got a tool kit, you know, spanner, undo her and forward it out and got myself going. And, you know, and I picked that spanner.
It's a bit dodgy thawing out frozen petrol.
Well, only in the banjo there. You know, you just had to get it in your mouth, you know.
So
yeah,
you just blow on it.
Yeah. I got it through anyway. And that spanner, I picked that spanner up off of the wing of the wagon. And when I went like that, it stuck to me fingers, frost, so cold. Near enough pulled the skin off. It hurt me fingers, you know. So cold, you know.
Now, just to pick up a couple of things. You mentioned, did you have Americans near when you first got there at Pintail Bridge? Were there Americans nearby?
Yeah. Now, the Americans was there. This here, pontoons, right? They used to be there permanently on there with the the old little engine and pump, keeping them afloat. You know what I mean? Giving them, pumping them up.
Now, how did you get on with these Americans? Because you said you picked up, you know, tell us about them. What were they like?
Yeah, them was all right. You know, they used to give you the finger down, up like that, you know.
Thumbs up, rather,
I meant to say. And then... I used to stop, and one particular time, Pintail went right the way down a slope, and my vehicle wouldn't go up. That, incidentally, it was the old Bedford. It wouldn't go up the hill because it was so slimy and muddy. And this TD8, that's a big bulldozer with a blade on, he backed down like that, and he had an American banksman, like, and he slung it down, hooked it on the front of my vehicle, and before I knew where I was, he took me up the hill. And then, absolutely great.
So you like the Americans?
Yeah, I myself personally, I get on with them.
Now, you picked up their slang, you said. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, habba habba used to be, habba habba, belly belly. Well, he used to say that to the porters, you know. Habba habba, it means hurry up. But it's nothing in a Korean book about it. Habba habba is American slang. Gamji, see, another word, gamji. That's a North Korean or North Chinky, gamji. Say, oh, gamji, you gamji, you know. And you, number one, you number one, you know. Number one is good. Nuh, you number 10. Somehow you used to make a conversation with the gooks, you know. Never spoke Korean, you know. And I can tell you the name of me interpreter. What was look around here? Ham Young Sona.
And how did you get on with the South Koreans? Or you called them gooks, did you?
Yeah, they was.
That's what you called them then. It's not wrong.
Yeah, big groups. I used to have. That's another cause coming on there. I used to go to a big like field or a dump, and pick up barbed wire. You know, the rolls of barbed wire, and pickets. The stake, metal stakes that stick in the ground, you know. And I had a couple of gooks ride on the back, and they'd done all the loading up, and they'd done all the offloading. I didn't have to touch them at all, you know. Didn't have to touch the wire or anything.
And you got on well with them? You just communicated as best
as you could? Yeah, I said, come on. It's off, you know.
Sign language. Yeah,
yeah.
New words.
Yeah. Off, you know.
Did you like them, or British troops don't always like foreign troops?
Well, Ham Young Sona, I'm going to swear, he's a cocky bastard, you know. He fancied himself, you know. But other than that, he was all right, you know.
A good interpreter?
As and when he wanted to be, I suppose, you know. Yeah. And there was loads of other blokes, you know, you generally found in the ROC. I come across the ROC Army, Korean Republic Army, and you generally found the officers with the silver bars up here. I don't know whether they were lieutenant or what. They generally spoke quite a good smattering of English. That was about, because I suppose, you know. That's about, you know, the going up here, like sort of delivery, the different stuff. Then I used to do a water bowser, you know, the